Right, as we begin to have a look at that passage together, can I lead us in a prayer? Let me pray. Oh, great God and Father, thank you as we come here this morning that you know exactly where our hearts are at. Thank you that you made each one of us and that you know where we are with you, whether we're running to you or whether we've been running from you. And Father, we ask this morning that as we look at these words, you would meet with us and show us your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd love you all to do something for me now. I'd love you to think, can you think of a gift that you have received that has brought you joy? Can you think of a gift you've received in your life that has brought you joy? Let me show you what I think of. I received this for Christmas when I was 15 years old. These little statuettes, they come from the special edition of the Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring DVD. Now, my dad read me this book when I was 8 years old. He took me to see the movie in the cinema. I saw it 4 times. When the DVD came out, he bought me the special edition. One of them has lost its head, but we won't talk about that. I genuinely love this gift. I keep it in my study now where I can see it. I look at it every day, and it brings me joy. It brings me joy because it reminds me of how much time my dad used to spend with me. It reminds me of him and our shared love of this book. Now, what about you? Can you think of a gift that you've received in your life that brings you joy? So what I want us to do just for a few minutes now this morning, I want us to gaze at a gift that is offered to every single one of us here this morning. And it's a gift that I think genuinely can bring joy. Now in that passage we had read, you might have noticed at the beginning of verse 2, it's written to people who are walking in darkness. And it says in verse 3 that God increases their joy. How does he do that? Well, it's by giving them a gift in verse 6. So look down at verse 6 with me. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. See, this is a prediction written 700 years before Jesus about his birth. Jesus Christ, the idea is he is that gift that is offered to each one of us that can genuinely bring joy. And in the second half of verse 6, we see he's given 4 names. And if you like, each of those names is like a different side of the present. Each of those names is another reason why you can rejoice and have genuine joy in this gift from God. Look, for 2,000 years, millions upon millions of people all over the world have gazed at this gift and found genuine joy. Now, my prayer is for us here this morning, whether you would consider yourself religious or not, that as we gaze at this gift together now, it might just bring joy to us here this morning, whether for the first time or for the 1,000th time. So we're just going to look at each of those 4 names briefly in turn. So let's have a look down. Verse 6 again. For us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called, here they are, here are the names. First name, Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. First name there, Wonderful Counselor. That's the first side of the present, okay? Jesus Christ will be known as the Wonderful Counselor. Now look, I don't know if you know this, but in this country at the moment, there is an absolute explosion of need for counselling. Are you aware of this? And it's across all ages. So do you know that the children under 10, the demand for children under 10 to receive counselling in the last few years has tripled, 3 times as many hoping for it, asking for it. Do you know the amount of young people with diagnosable mental health problems these days is up to now? It's 1 in 4, a quarter. And do you know, I read this week, the percentage of GP appointments right now in the UK that are to do with mental health? Any guesses? Anyone brave enough to guess? It is 40% of all GP appointments on the NHS are now to do with mental health. And so what the NHS have been doing, they've been pouring money and resources into providing counselling services. But the counselling services are totally overrun. Because in our culture and in us, there is a deep, deep need at the moment for counselling. For someone who understands and can walk with you through the fog and the pain of this life. Now look, when Isaiah here says that Jesus Christ will be known as a wonderful counselor, I think he's talking about something even better than that. He's not just saying, you know, Jesus is the best therapist. You know, like he's someone who listens really well, although he is. Someone who asks really good questions, although he does. No, he's saying that Jesus Christ is one to whom you can bring your worst problems. And he will walk with you through them and show you a way out. The wonderful counselor. So when Jesus Christ grew up, he faced the worst things that this life has to throw at a person. And it's like he stands before us and says, look, whatever you're facing, are you facing the path of pain? I've endured that. Loneliness? I know it. Betrayal? I know it. Temptation? Loss? Heartache. I have walked those roads before you, and I offer to walk them with you now and show you the way through. See, in Jesus Christ, God is offering us a wonderful counselor. And let me tell you, knowing that, having that in your life, knowing that, that is a reason to rejoice. Even when you're not struggling with mental health problems now, to know that whatever this life throws at me, God himself gifts me a wonderful counselor. That is amazing. That is a reason to rejoice. So that's the first side of the present then. Wonderful counselor. Next one, verse 6. Have a look down. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. This child born 2,000 years ago will be the mighty God. Now look, for a moment, I'd love to just chat to anyone here who's just looking into the Christian faith. You wouldn't consider yourself a Christian yet. If that's you, I just imagine for a moment that out there, beyond what we can see and touch, there really is one God who made everything and therefore is mighty, has power over everything, controls all things. Imagine that that is true. Wouldn't it be great to know that that God is in your corner? Is on your side as you walk through life and face the pains and struggles of this world? See, look, the claim is that that God who is outside of what we can see and know stepped into history, stepped into what can be seen and known in Jesus Christ. And as that baby Christ grew into a man, we have four eyewitness accounts of his life that have been preserved through history, written down in the Bible, the Gospels. And each one of them records him doing things that no other human has ever been able to do. Records him doing things that only the mighty God could do. You can read it yourself. Read one of the accounts of his life and just see what you think. The idea is in Jesus, the mighty God comes, and not just to show his power, but if you like, to bring his power to be present in our lives. So that in Christ, the mighty God is offering to genuinely be in your corner for all that you fear in life, for all that you long for all that you fail to be. And knowing that he, the mighty God, is in your corner, on your side, again, that is wonderful. That is another reason for Christians to rejoice. He is the mighty God. Right, next one. He is the everlasting Father. Verse 6, he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Now, old school comedian Steve Martin once said, a father is a man who has pictures in his wallet where his money used to be. That's one definition of a father. But look, as I say that word father, that's a word that's going to, every one of us will react slightly differently to that word, right? For some of us who hear that word father, we're full of happy memories. For some of us, when we hear that word father, that's not what happens. That brings up sadness. That brings up maybe loss. It's whatever reaction it creates in you when you hear the word father, it's kind of well charted that your relationship with fathers has a huge impact on the rest of our life, for good or for ill. Years ago, I knew a man who was he was the life and soul of the party. Have you ever met anyone like that? Do you know, when they walk into a room, they just light it up. He's chatting to everyone, huge smile, really confident guy. He was a wonderful man. As I got to know him, I realized that he was much less confident than I first thought. And I noticed that actually he had very, very few close friends. And despite the fact he was really eligible, successful, attractive, and lots of people were interested in him romantically, he could never respond to that kind of interest. And once we had a long, long journey as we're getting to know each other, and we got talking about these things. And in a moment of honesty, he said something that really, really stuck with me. He said that when people come and sort of want to love him in that way, he said, it feels really, really wrong to me. It makes him very uncomfortable. I said, why is that? And he said, well, look, when I was really small, when I was a young boy, my father sent me away to live with other people. And he paused and he said, now if my father, who was meant to be the one to love me, didn't want me, then surely there must be something deeply wrong with me. And so when people come and want to show me love, it feels wrong to me. As we were driving, I was so sad, I almost crashed the car. It's an unbelievably sad experience this man had. If a father is not there, it can create such a hole. Now look here in this verse, Jesus Christ is called the everlasting Father. And the idea is this, he is always there. Whatever your experience of an earthly father, that fatherly care we all long for is always there through Jesus Christ. You know, one who is strong and who knows you and who moves towards you in love. And notice it says everlasting. Whether good or bad, our earthly fathers all die one day. But the relationship with God that Jesus Christ draws us into is everlasting. It lasts even through death. Through Jesus, we have a Father who is always there. That whatever may come in life, whatever life may throw at you, you can know the everlasting arms underneath you as you walk through life. And that is a reason to rejoice. And speaking as someone, I lost my father 14 years ago. I've got to tell you, that is a reason that I massively rejoice in God my Maker. Because through Christ, I can genuinely know him as my Father, as my everlasting Father. And that makes a difference. Okay, final one then. Final one. Everlasting Father. Last one. Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. Now that word peace in the Bible, it's a big word. In Hebrew, it's the word shalom, and it's got a big definition. It means total well-being. It means well-being not just in your mind, but in your heart and in your relationships and, you know, with your neighbors and in your community. This word peace, it's a big word meaning total well-being. And it says here that this gift, Jesus Christ, is the prince of that. How? What on earth? What is that talking about? Well, look, in the Bible, when it comes to peace, there's a link between the vertical, our relationship with God, and the horizontal, our life here and our relationships here in this life now. A link between the vertical and the horizontal. Look, at the start of the Bible, the idea is that there was a sort of total peace between people and God. Total peace. But when people turned away from God, it's like the peace with the vertical level got cracked. And that crack between us and God then seeped down into our hearts and our minds and out into our relationships. So that is when people started to feel guilt and shame and brokenness inside. That is when, with other people, the cracks started to spread out. People started to feel anger and arguments and violence spread out and into the world. And that is just the world that we live in now, isn't it? I mean, that's why for some of us, Christmas actually won't necessarily be that easy. It won't necessarily be full of peace. There may be arguments, there may be Brussels sprouts flying at the Christmas table later at lunchtime. Because that's the world we live in. We look on the news and there's wars going on. But here it says Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. What is that talking about? Well, the idea is that when Jesus Christ grew up, he died on the cross to pay the price for everything that you and I have done wrong. Why? Well, to bring us back into peace with God. Sorry, that's meant to be a cross. I am terrible at drawing. To bring us back, to restore that vertical relationship so that God's peace, peace with him, can pour now down into my heart and into my life. And when God's peace pours down into my life, that begins the process of peace beginning to flow out into the rest of my relationships so that my heart and my mind begins to be filled with it, and then that can spread out into my relationships, even the community. We try to become then peacemakers with others by God's Spirit and in his grace. That never happens perfectly in this life, but it begins. It begins when we receive this gift of Christ into our lives. And then what happens? Well, when I'm struggling with a strife and a lack of peace in the rest of my life, what do? I retreat and I remind myself of the peace that I get to have with God, like a fountain. I retreat and I plunge myself into that to refresh myself, drink deeply from the peace that God gives me with himself. And from that place of peace, then head out into life to face the strife and the struggle from a place of stillness and peace with God. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. Why? Because he restores us to peace with God, our Maker. So those are the four sides of the gift then. He's the wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. What are we going to do with this gift? What are we going to do? Well, I want to say two things, two responses. The first is this: find out more. Like, if you're here today and you've not thought much about these things, or these things are new to you, you wouldn't consider yourself a Christian, can I just implore you, find out more. Because if there's any chance this might be true, it is literally the best news you'll ever hear. It is the best opportunity you'll ever have. If it's not true, forget it, who cares? But if it might be true, it is worth finding out more. It is worth finding out more. We're going to be running a course in the new year called Honest Questions, meeting in Wetherspoons Pub, a chance to come along, find out more, find out if this could be real. But for those of us here that would call ourselves Christians this morning, this Christmas Day, what are we to do with this? How are we to respond? Well, very simply, let me just encourage you once again, let's rejoice. Let's rejoice. In the midst of all the busyness and all the Christmas dinner preparations and everything else we got going on, take a moment, the rest of this service, the rest of the day, take a moment and just rejoice at what God has already given you, at the love that he has for you and the love that he shows to you in Jesus Christ as he gives you this gift. Rejoice once again. I say again, rejoice. Let me pray to finish. Great God and Father, thank you for this gift of Jesus Christ. We thank you that he is the wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Amen.